Psalm 66, starting at verse 1. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I will make an offering of bulls and goats. And then our text this evening, verses 16 through 20. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. So far, God's word. And let's, as always, bring this word before him and ask him for a blessing on his word to us. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we come now to your word, we pray for hearts opened to your word. We have a message, Lord, of encouragement as we consider how you taught your disciples to pray. And as we've been considering that, Lord, we come to the final phrase, a little word, amen. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that we're about to receive. May it indeed be an encouragement to our hearts. Work in us through your Holy Spirit, Lord, the same Holy Spirit that was there as the earth was formed, the same Holy Spirit who came down at Pentecost, the same Holy Spirit, as we were reminded this morning, who was at work in Philip and in the Ethiopian as well. Work in us through your Holy Spirit too this afternoon, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who was alive in 1977? Just a few. In 1997, Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 set off from Earth to explore our solar system. Two satellites that were sent out to look at Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. And in 2012, Voyager 1 left our solar system. It's now in what is known as the interstellar region, in between the stars. In 2018, Voyager 2 followed. Can anyone remember those being launched? Yeah, a few remembering those, yeah. The amazing thing is that we are still hearing from them. They've just installed some new equipment, in the process of installing some new equipment in a number of the receivers, the big satellite antennas, the big satellite dishes, and they're able to send commands still to Voyager and receive them back. And on both Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 is placed a golden record. Along with this golden record is a little capsule and a little needle so that someone intelligent can play this record and hear sounds, hear noises of nature here on Earth, of songs and speeches. And you can actually listen on Spotify to the music and things that have been placed on this record. But the whole point of sending this message out, of sending out Voyager, is to answer a question. Is there anybody out there? That's not a question for you this afternoon. I hope you're all still with me and listening. Is there anyone out there in space? Is there anyone listening? And humanity continues to be absorbed with that question. The Mars rover is currently on Mars at the moment, seeking out that question too. Is there anybody, anything out there? Humanity continues to ask that question and to continue to look for the answer. But we know better, boys and girls. We know there is something out there, don't we? We do, don't we? God is out there. And our text is going to remind us that God is out there. And yes, God is listening. He is listening to us. This afternoon, we come to the end of the Lord's Prayer, the end of the Heidelberg Catechism. And as we do so, and as we look at Psalm 66, we're going to be reminded of the wonderful truth that God hears and God answers our prayer. God hears and answers our prayers. The first thing we're going to see this afternoon is praise for God's works. Praise for God's works. In verse 16, the psalmist calls his fellow believers to hear what God has done for him. And that's the constant refrain that we see throughout Psalm 66. It begins with the psalmist calling the whole earth to come and sing the praises of God, to shout his praises, to recognize how awesome God is. He calls Israel in verses 5 to 7 to remember the awesome deeds that God did in crossing and helping them to cross the Red Sea. He also acknowledges that Christians can have tough times. And he also acknowledges, which is interesting to note, that those tough times can even come from God's hand. Now, we don't know what sort of trial the psalmist was going through. We're not told there. But what was clear is the result. The psalmist talks about it there in verse 10 and following. You, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Right out of the bat, we can see that God uses trials to test us. If you have your Bibles open, turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Keep your hand there in Psalm 66. After Hebrews. James 1 verses 2 through 4, we read this. Page 1011 if you've got one of the church Bibles. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God uses trials. And the response to God's testing, the response to God having brought the psalmist through this trial, is to come to God with praise and offering. To come into the temple, as he says there in the psalm, to offer burnt offerings, the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, of bulls and goats. He offers a sacrifice of thanks. Now, we don't sacrifice animals nowadays, do we, boys and girls? Apart from on the barbecue. I heard some people talking in there, yeah. But it's not the same. At all. We do offer sacrifice though, don't we? Romans 12 speaks about offering ourselves as a sacrifice. But the psalmists also talk about prayer being a sacrifice. Don't turn there, I'm just going to read a verse there. But Psalm 141, if you're taking notes. Psalm 141 verses 1 and 2 says this. O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Our prayers are a sacrifice to God. Another part of reading together, another reason to meet together, the psalmist uses, and that we can use too, is to talk to each other, to tell each other about what God has done for us. That's what he does in verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. The psalmist wants to outlay God's track record, what God has done. First of all, that God has saved him from his trials, but also recognizing the many blessings that God has given him. Today we talk, and the psalmist could only look forward to that, we talk of the most important blessing, the salvation we have in Christ Jesus, the biggest blessing we can receive. But also, the psalmist has in mind here the many blessings that God has given him, the many ways that God has worked in his life. When you have a birthday party, one of the questions that you get asked, unless you're born older than 1977, where it's rude to ask how many candles you have on your birthday cake, one of the questions that you're asked is, what did you get for your birthday? What did you get for your birthday? And you'll say, well, these are the sorts of things I got or didn't get, another story. But you talk to people about the blessings you received. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. He's relating. He's saying, come and hear the wonderful things that God has been doing for me. The blessings that he has given me. Is that something we do as God's people? Share those blessings. Are you comfortable in sharing God's blessings, the way that God has blessed you, with others? That's part of the psalmist's prayer to God. He calls out to God, verse 17. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. Praise is there full and foremost as the psalmist lifts up his offering of incense to God. He begins and ends with praise. He's thankful, and that means he spent time thinking about, reflecting on the blessings that God has given him. It's a good thing for us to consider God's work in our lives. Because what that does, as we consider God's work, as we look back and see his track record in our lives, it encourages us looking further, looking to the future. That's something that I often struggle with. I remember at seminary, and at seminary you have a rush of exams at the end of every term. Boys and girls, some of you are heading to that or going to be heading to that shortly. And before every exam, I would stress and stew. And I would work and I would say to myself, oh, this is going to be a tough one. And then I'd do okay in the exam and I'd pass. But then what happens when the next exam came along? I'd be in exactly back in the same position, thinking, oh, well, that was an easy test. This one's going to be a harder one. And Hanukkah would often say to me, look, remember God's blessings to you. He's brought you this far. He's helped you. He will continue to help you. It helps us as we consider God's track record that he doesn't let us down, to be reminded that in the future he won't let us down either. But the key idea the psalmist gives us here in our first point is praising God. We're called to thank him, to declare to him and to declare to God's people the wonderful things that he has done. If you include thanks in your prayer, if you were to balance your thankfulness, that wasn't there last week, it was over there. If you were to balance your thankfulness on the scales with your request to God, how do they add up? Praise for God's works is our first point, but secondly, we see that sin hinders prayer. The psalmist is pretty blunt here in verse 18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If I had cherished iniquity, the Lord would not have listened. What does that mean? Does that mean if that we have sinned, God doesn't listen to us? Well, I don't know about you, but if that is true, I would be in a whole lot of trouble. We're reminded of the law, and we recited the two great commandments this morning. Who here has kept all of those today, or for the last hour or so? Every single one of those commandments. There's normally one taken. No one today. Good, you are listening. Not one of us can say, yes, I've kept all of those 10 commandments. Every single one of us has broken some, if not all of those. None of us can say that we have kept them. There's only one man who can say that. Only one man who walked on this earth, who no longer walks on this earth, who is seated at the right hand of God. And boys and girls, that man is easy on this one. Who's that man?
Jesus.
It's Jesus, absolutely. He is the only one who has never, ever sinned. So what does it mean here? Well, the key here, as we look at verse 18, is the phrase cherished. If I had cherished iniquity, think of Gollum and the ring of power. This isn't the ring of power, just in case you're worried. This is my wedding ring. But if anyone's seen or read the books of the Lord of the Rings, Gollum thought about this ring an awful lot, didn't he? He played with it. He cherished it. He called it his precious. That's right. He called it his precious. He could think of nothing else. When he didn't have it, he wanted it. When he had it, he hated it. But yet it consumed him. So much so that it took him to his death. Yes, that's a spoiler. That's an extreme picture of cherishing sin. How do we cherish sin? We think about doing something wrong. We ponder it. We meditate on it. We convince ourselves that there aren't going to be any consequences. Or we make excuses. This time, it'll be okay. But even there, we're all in trouble there, aren't we? The picture really is of the psalmist here is not so much that you commit one deliberate sin, but that's a pattern for your life. That you go and you sin boldly and you couldn't care less. You don't care about the consequences. You know it's wrong. You don't care and you do it anyway. It's a pattern of deliberate disobedience of God's will and his way. And if that is the pattern in your life, then the psalmist here teaches us that you cannot expect God to listen to your prayers. You cannot expect God to bless you until your heart is changed. If you continue deliberately going on and blindly following a path, or even with eyes wide open, you cannot expect God to listen or hear you. Until you confess, until you turn back to him, until you acknowledge your sin, and then the doors are wide open for you. Now, the psalmist doesn't mean here that if you struggle with sin, if you fall into sin and you confess and you pick yourself back up again, or God picks you back up and you fall into that sin again and you pick yourself up and you fall into that sin and you pick yourself up again, but each time you ask for forgiveness and you seek to do well, it doesn't mean then that God is keeping score. It doesn't mean that God says, well, okay, that's time number 5. I've lost patience with you. That's it. That's not how God works. As we come to him, he will never turn us away. God will not destroy a bruised reed. But he will harm a belligerent one. We can give thanks, or the psalmist, I should say, give thanks, that this is not the case for him. Yes, he sins. Yes, he falls. But because he is a child of God, he always comes back. And as he comes back, God hears him and listens to him. And even that, of course, is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not a work that we can do of our own. He says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But in verse 19, truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. It's an encouragement again this afternoon. Even though I struggle with sin, even though I fall, God does hear me as I turn to him. And like the psalmist, we should be led to praise. And that's our third and final point this afternoon. Praising God for his ears and praising God for his heart. It's there in verse 19 and 20. To hear the signals from Voyager, you need a massive radio dish. And there are many, many massive radio dishes around the world that have their ears open, listening for some sort of message, listening to hear anything from outer space. But God can hear our whispers. God can hear our unspoken prayers. God can hear the prayers that are burning in our hearts. And he listens to us. And that's what that little word amen means. Turn with me now and you'll sing to the Lord's to page 849 if you have the creeds and confessions. Lord's Day 52, the last Lord's Day. We're going to recite together question and answer 129. Number 129. I'll ask the question, you know how it works, and we'll all respond together. What does that little word amen express? Amen means this is sure to be. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than what I really desire, what I pray for. A little word, a tiny word, but a powerful word that reminds us every single time we say it, God listens. God hears. And we can be so sure that he listens, more sure, I should say, than the desires that we have, that we bring to God. God hears us. He does not reject the prayers of believers. The psalmist goes on to explain that. Blessed be God because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. We have that wonderful verse, wonderful word in Hebrew, the steadfast love. We've looked at it previously before, that word chesed. Chesed. Can anyone remember how we describe chesed? The steadfast love of God. It's a word like geselig. You know, geselig in Dutch has that comfort, that warmth, that feeling good, like a nice bowl of soup. Reminded you there. What does chesed mean? Can anyone tell me? Give me some words that you think chesed means.
Grace.
It means grace, yes.
Love.
Love? Kindness? Faithfulness? Mercy? Loyalty? And unchanging love. All of those words, whenever you come across steadfast love, it's all packed into that word. And that so describes our Father who hears us in prayer. That's who we're praying to. And here we see God's heart as he listens to sinners, as he pulls us out of sin, as he makes us right through Jesus Christ, as he shows us his love, even as he carries us and takes us through trials in life. We see his steadfast love, and that as sinners, God loved us while we were still sinners and saved us, reminding us that we only receive God's steadfast love. We can only continue to receive God's steadfast love because of the one who died for us. Because that's where the Heidelberg Catechism began, as we were reminded this evening. We were reminded that our comfort, and amen reminds us of that comfort. We're reminded of that comfort as we began. What is our only comfort in life and death? I won't say it all this afternoon. But it reminds us that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, that he has fully paid for all of our sins with his precious blood and has set us free from the tyranny of the devil. Because of that, we can say amen. And because of that, as we say our prayers often today, before we say amen, we use that phrase, in Jesus' name. And as we're doing that, we're reminding ourselves that we can only come before God because of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, as we were encouraged by God's love for us, as we were encouraged that God hears us, as we're reminded this afternoon of his heart for us, all we can simply do is say amen. Thank you, God, and praise him. Our psalmist reminded us this afternoon of the importance of praise. I gave you some homework this morning. I'm not going to put you on the spot and see how you did. There's some homework today for this week to come. And what I want you to do together as a family or wherever you're staying, whoever you're visiting with, at some stage this week, I want you to spend some time reflecting together on God's blessings to you. How has God blessed you? What are you thankful for? What has God done? What is God doing in your life? And then spend just a little bit of time thanking Him in prayer for the works that God is doing in each other's lives. Give thanks that God is listening. Give thanks that, yes, God is out there. But He's not just out there. He sent His Son to die for us, and He continues to listen to us. And then our answer is simply, Amen. I'm going to pray now, and as we pray, we're going to conclude with this prayer that we've spent a number of weeks looking at. So if you have your Sing to the Lord's again, turn there to the Lord's Prayer, which is on page 5. It's the first of all the different parts and pieces that we have there at the beginning of our Sing to the Lord's. We're going to conclude, and I'll make it clear to you when we're concluding, with version B of the Lord's Prayer. Are you ready to go? Let's pray. Please, let's pray together as God's people. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, we praise You, we worship You for the wonderful things that You are doing in our life. We thank You first and foremost for Your Savior who rescued us, who brought us out of our sin, who paid the price for us, that now even as we stumble into sin, that our sins are still paid for because of Jesus Christ, that nothing can change Your steadfast love, Your chesed for us. Help us to reflect on that often. Help us to remember that as we come before You, as we unburden our hearts before You, help us never to forget to come before You in praise. This afternoon we praise You, Heavenly Father, for Your ears, for Your listening to us, for Your heart. We thank You that You are not only the God who is out there, but that You are the God with us, that You sent Your Son to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. We thank You that it's because of Him that we can be assured of Your promise and Your word, Your mighty work, Your promised ongoing work, that every single one whom You have a hold of, that our Savior has a hold of, You will never ever turn away, and our Savior will never let us go. We thank You for that. We praise You for that, and we bring our prayer before You this afternoon in the way that You taught Your disciples to pray and that You teach us as well. As we say together this afternoon, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.